Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast, going to be lots of sunshine today. We'll have a high near 80 degrees. Kenosha right now 64 with fog, 62 in Burlington, Milwaukee 67, 65 degrees in Racine, fog around the area. The weather will be inevitably changing as these weeks go on and the months get closer and closer toward the, that eventual day in December. Higher daytime humidities, cooler nighttime temperatures, creating the usual things that you get at this time of year, the fog, like we have this morning. There's a new state law that requires drivers to turn on their vehicle's headlights when the weather conditions, including rain and fog and snow, reduce visibility to less than 500 feet. Were you aware of that?
Our advice to drivers would be that when fog is extremely dense, if possible, postpone your trip until the fog lifts. If you have to drive in fog, slow down and be sure to turn on your vehicle's low-beam headlights. Turn off the radio, eliminate distractions, and when entering a highway in foggy conditions, you may want to open your windows so you can better see and hear approaching traffic.
And so other traffic can see you as well, according to State Patrol Sergeant David Harvey. He says, when in doubt, just turn on the low beams. He says, by doing that, you can see better in front of you, and again, others can see you. Wisconsin State Patrol, meanwhile, says that a 40-year-old woman from Milwaukee, Nicole Satterfield, got arrested over the weekend, her first operating while intoxicated offense, heading southbound on I-94 in Racine County near Highway C with a child under the age of 16 in the vehicle. Car initially stopped for exceeding the speed limit, according to a news release. Trooper, though, smelled intoxicants from inside, administered the standard field sobriety test, and placed Satterfield under arrest. Her 9-year-old daughter taken to the child's father by a supervisor. At the hospital, Satterfield reportedly refused testing, prompting a warrant and additional charges, including no insurance or a valid license. A 7-year-old boy doing what he can to try to help the Green Bay Police Department to get a new canine. Ethan Angham gave the department a check for $520 that he raised online through a GoFundMe campaign. Angham says he began to raise the money after learning the department's 4-year-old dog had died earlier this month. Supervisory members of the Racine Fire Department's Regional Hazardous Materials Team being recommended for a boost in that special stipend they get every year to be involved in that operation. It's a contract with the state. They respond not only to situations in Racine County, but also in Kenosha and Walworth counties. Fire Chief Steve Hansen telling the Finance and Personnel Committee recently about a $100 increase for each of the 6 members of the Hazmat Oversight Committee, as well as a $500 boost for the Hazmat Chief.
The stipends that were being proposed here are all being paid out of state Hazmat funds. There are no levy dollars involved in this at all. If the state decides, and we have no indication of this at this time, but if the state were to decide to end a contract with the city, these stipends would go away with that and would not be built into the budget process. It is completely separate from the fire department budget.
Chief Hansen noting that while not in the request, there is incentive pay that is involved for the 42 team members in Hazmat to attend training sessions. The committee's support for the additional Hazmat team stipends, which again involves state money built into the fire department's budget, expected to be approved by the full council on September 6th. Committee also last week supported moving now on the order for another budgeted Quint fire truck, which would be delivered by December of next year. There was a weekend robbery of the Anchor Bank branch on the east side of Madison, which is believed to have been related to at least 3 others, one occurring in the Village of Oregon, the other 2 at a bank on the west side of Madison. Police describing the suspect, a man in his 30s, about 5'10", 250 pounds. The Netflix documentary series Making a Murderer drew all kinds of attention from around the country to the Manitowoc County murder of Teresa Halbach in 2005. Stephen Avery and his nephew, Brendan Dassey, both tried and convicted, as you know, but with a federal judge recently throwing out Dassey's confession, leading to his potential freedom soon and hope for Avery as well. Sheboygan criminal defense attorney Casey Hoff says Dassey should not have been tried as an adult in the first place.
We have so much medical and scientific research that shows that juveniles simply do not have the brain development that adults have. In males, it can be in the mid-20s when they have a fully formed brain, depending on the scientific research that you look at.
He says wrongful juvenile convictions with forced confessions happen a lot more than you might think, and he cited the Slender Man case with 2 juvenile girls as a case where they should not be in adult court either. Supporters of trying juveniles as adults, though, have said that if a person, a young person, commits a heinous crime, they're acting as an adult and they should be treated that way. The budget that was adopted or is adopted every November by the Racine Common Council, that's a plan from which to conduct city operations in the following year, a plan based on documented history that is not set in stone, but which may also have to absorb unexpected and unwanted surprises. Though not the case so far, at least this year, according to the numbers for 6 months. City Finance Director Dave Brown talking to the Finance Committee about all the departments through June having expenditures of just over 48%.
One would imagine if operations are consistent throughout the year, you'd be 50% expended or 50% remaining. And as we go down the line, nearly every one of them is close to that 50% mark. Is how much they've used, the only ones that are over. Non-departmental, Public Works just by a touch. So from an expenditure point of view, we're doing very well. We really haven't even spent 50% as of the end of June.
Brown said that revenues are seasonal, so they arrive at different times of the year, like property taxes at 100%, but intergovernmental revenue sharing 6.9% only through June, state dollars not even starting to arrive until July. He cited the city as having investments that are very low risk, including government securities and certificates of deposits, interest rates on par with what the general public gets. Finance Committee Chairman Q.A. Shakur calling the report very well laid out with good information, Brown crediting Deputy Director Kathleen Fisher for the compilation. State workers, they got more money in merit-based bonuses, equity, and retention payments in fiscal year 2016 than they did 2015, but the payments were still down sharply from 3 years ago. The Wisconsin State Journal says that about 15% of the state's workforce got pay raises or one-time bonuses. The sharp increase from 2015 due to the governor suspending the checks that year because of budget issues. A lot of schools currently offer computer science classes. John Johnson with the State Department of Public Instruction says there are no standards for what should be covered, though.
In an area like computer science, there are some districts in the state that don't have computer science classes yet, and there are many parts of the state that may not have the expertise locally to develop a kindergarten through 12th grade set of standards.
The DPI is seeking public comment right now through its webpage on whether or not the agency should develop voluntary standards for direction to the schools on the key skills that computer science courses need to be emphasizing. Sometimes things seem to come together almost magically. A Kenosha entrepreneur on her way to success after getting a rather unique recipe for fudge, becoming passionate over human trafficking, and finally securing some extra time to pursue her new business. Christy Wilson owns Sweet Impact Confections with a Conscience. Cornerstones include her fudge recipe, which she obtained from the late mother of a friend, and a desire to help groups that are trying to eradicate child labor in the cocoa bean industry in Ghana and the Ivory Coast. So $2 of every pound of fudge that she sells goes to those groups. Wilson saying she's in the process of trying to increase production by building a fully licensed home-based kitchen. At the moment, she makes her fudge at Frank's Diner in downtown Kenosha after hours.
It's been challenging because if you've ever been in Frank's, it's packed to the rafters in terms of their own equipment, their own supplies. It's not a big place. But I've got room for two big tubs so that I've got most of my supplies in, and the rest gets carted back and forth. And then I'm able to cook while they're not there.
Wilson telling our friends at Gateway Public Radio that her fudge at the Kenosha Harbor Market, and to a limited extent online, says she's been able to devote more time to her business ever since her two kids entered high school. WRJN.com, that's our webpage. We keep our newscasts in the local news section. Also, at WRJN News, that's for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, WRJN News.